It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Here we go again, Northwest Indiana. We're sitting here live on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR. Sitting here with Sharon Jackson, my co-host, yes, my partner, my yes, my buddy. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
I saw that you had something that was looking really good, and it's the National Grilled Cheese Day, I hear.
You know, and it just so happens that I just got a grilled cheese. I didn't even know that it was National Grilled Cheese Day.
Oh, you know what? There's an aura in the air that's saying grilled cheese.
I think I'm just psychic. I'm going to go play the lottery here, the Hoosier Lottery, in a bit.
How was your grilled cheese?
It was good. It was good.
It was good.
Yeah, yeah. It was good.
No tomato soup with it?
No. It was pretty good. I mean, it didn't set my world on fire, I hate to say. Mm-hmm. But it was okay. It was pretty good. It was passable. I probably would get it again, but it wouldn't be my first choice of grilled cheeses.
You know, in Chicago, I think they had last year on the news something about the most expensive grilled cheese sandwich, and it had gold leaf in it.
Ooh, is that like an expensive cheese, like with all kinds of different blends?
No, gold, like real gold.
Oh, wow.
So they put like three different cheeses, and then they put gold leaf in there and then jack the price up.
And how does that taste, gold leaf?
I don't think you taste it. Mm. It's just all about imagining that you're rich inside now.
You just know, wow, yeah. You have gold in your belly.
So what's going on in the region? Anything special?
Well, you know, there's some sort of Star Wars celebration this weekend at McCormick Place. It's underway now, and the South Shore is actually going to be making special stops for this thing, a Star Wars celebration. So maybe you'll see, like, Darth Vader walking down the sidewalk somewhere here.
You know, you know, with this wind, their capes, they're just going to fly away.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, last week it was beautiful, and this week is like we're ready to fly kites.
It's crazy.
You know what? I was going to ride my bike here and put a big sail on it and just cruise.
You could do some windsurfing.
I was going to do some windsurfing.
You should.
But you know what? I had to get ready for the show.
It'll burn off that grilled cheese.
So, anyways, today we're sitting here on 89.1 FM. It's Let's Eat. Mm-hmm. It's another Friday. And we want you, the callers, you're getting everyone ready for what we're going to do, aren't you?
Yes, exactly.
We want you, the listeners, to call in. 769-9577. That's 769-9577. And we have a special guest today that's really, we can probably throw a baseball right to his microbrewery.
Yeah, we're neighbors.
We're neighbors. And pick up some gift cards from Cognito Brewery and Tap Room and Chef Nick's Eatery out of Winfield. And Cognito Brewery and Tap Room is really a unique, smooth, I want to say, kind of place. Where there, it's new, and they got a tap room, and they got some unique, art, and they got some unique beers. So let's introduce them. We have Dwayne
very cool,
from Cognito Brewery. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, how you doing?
And we have Marquise from Cognito Brewery.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
And Dwayne's the owner and operator, and Marquise, we'll just call him the assistant brew master.
Nice.
You like that title, brew master?
I can roll with that. I like that. I like that.
It's kind of older awesome feeling, but you know, we want you guys, the listeners, like you always do, give us a call, ask us a question, and you know what? You got a night out at Cognito with some free brewskis, and you can get a dinner at Chef Nick's Eatery out of Winfield.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I've actually been to your establishment. I'm very curious about the location.
So
you're going to have to ask him for me, Nick.
I will.
Or I'll ask him myself. Either way, yeah.
You can do that. So anyways, Dwayne, tell us a little bit. Give us your full name and give us a little background about yourself.
Okay. Dwayne Williams. I was actually born in Gary, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. So was I.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. And I came out of high school, out of Gary Westside High School, class of 1984.
Okay.
I left in 84 and went to Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. And from there, I began my undergraduate studies and my master's degree study in urban and regional planning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of occupations did you have before you decided to drink all day?
That's interesting. Well, drinking started in college. Ball State is known for those.
I've been there.
Car party schools. So big shout to Ball State. But I wanted to be an inner city planner for the longest. Growing up in Gary, I decided that either I was going to be an architect or a politician. Mm-hmm. And I was able to blend those two with the School of Urban and Regional Planning. So I got to learn a lot about policy and design, architectural design, and just meld them together along with sociology and economics. So I meld them together, and I've been a city planner ever since I left Ball State from grad school.
So what cities did you help help out?
Oh, I started actually here in Gary in 97 with Mayor Barnes when he was the mayor of Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
I did some time with him, and then he didn't run for election the following term, and Scott King became the mayor. And right around Scott King's term, I decided I wanted to like spread my wings a little bit and see what else was out there in the good old U.S. And I ended up in Indianapolis, and then I left Indianapolis and took off to Phoenix, Arizona, and worked for the governor's office there. Arizona is a very interesting state. It's by it's been one of the youngest states in the union. There was no decision made on what should happen with a lot of land surrounding the cities that were created in Arizona. So they set boundaries for the city, for example, Phoenix. And when the boom hit, thanks to water and electricity getting down to that level of area, that the boom hit, and they need to come to the state because the rest of the land was given to the state for ownership, not the county. So the state controlled a lot of land around the Tucson, the Phoenix, all the growing urban areas. And as the cities met their boundaries, they had to annex state land. So that's why I worked for the state land department in Arizona, which was very interesting because I saw new towns go up, and it gave me a great understanding of how towns are created and the forming of boundaries within the political area. And then I left Arizona, and I went to Indianapolis again to work under Mayor Peterson. He was the first Democratic mayor for the city of Indianapolis. I left there, and I went to Chesterton, and I worked for good old Chesterton, Indiana. I was in the one of the city planners there. I left there after about 5 years and went to East Chicago, and I worked under Mayor Prebe. I did 4 years with him, and then after that, I sorry about that. I wasn't expecting that.
It's okay.
Okay. And I left East Chicago, and I worked for Mayor Karen Freeman in the city of Gary for 4 years. And then after I left the city of Gary, I did 4 years with Karen, and I wanted to spread my wings some more. So I had an offer to either become an international planner and work for Regina, Canada, or either South Miami, Florida. And, of course, the weather took me over, and I went to South Miami, Florida, and I did about 2 to 3 years there. And I thought at that point I reached about 30 years of planning, close to it.
Wow.
And I said,
you
I
seem
think,
like you've done a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you're younger than me, but you seem like you even like you would be older than me but with all the experience.
I've been running around for a while, and I started homebrewing back in my Chesterton days. Met some guys out there, and they were homebrewing out the garage. So it's just something I never stopped. It became a passion. So everywhere I moved to, I was taking my homebrew kit.
So you never used your bathtub, did you?
No. No, that does sound good, though. I could just lay in a bathtub with a straw and just...
So how was all that traveling around? Was that good? Did that open up your mind a little bit?
You know, it did, because, you know, you get to work with cities that are mostly Democrat, cities that are mostly Republican, then you had your bipartisan, you know, cities in there, too. So it gave you a good spectrum of working with the left and the right. And in the middle. So it was a good learning experience. It really was. And then various populations, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it made you, it just like kind of broadens your horizon a little bit.
Yeah,
you
know? It did.
You know, because I did kind of the same thing, moved around. It opened me up. It really did. I mean, me and you both grew up in Gary, and it's like, you know, you're used to the mills and all that kind of stuff. But once you get away from the area, it's amazing that, yeah, every place has its own little strip malls and stuff.
Yep.
But people are different, you know, and you learn different cultures and stuff. And I found it very cool. And your brewmaster here, your assistant, Marquise. How you doing, Marquise?
I'm all right today.
Now tell us your full name and give us a little bit of background about yourself.
All right. So my name is Marquise Hartley, and I was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois for 12 years. Moved. About when I was around 11 of age, going on 12 years. And we moved down to Lafayette, Indiana. And I was out there for about 6-7 years. And for some reason, my mom, you know, decided to come back out, you know, towards home. So we came back, you know, towards the homeland area, Chicagoland area, Northwest Indiana. And I've been out here for about 12 years now in Indiana. So...
How old are you? You're pretty young.
I am, actually.
Yeah, I wish. Can we trace spaces? I'll keep my kids and my wife, but can we trace spaces on this?
I'm actually going on 23 in July.
Oh, yeah.
July 5th.
Actually. Oh, I'm the 6th, so we're July
okay.
babies.
Oh, okay. Cancers.
Cancers all the way.
Definitely, definitely. So I did a lot before I started, you know, brewing and coming up with... being around Dwayne and doing craft beer. I started working when I was 16. My very first job was an event staffer out in Chicago.
Huh.
I did. I was working for a company called Monterey Security,
mm-hmm.
and they staffed events such as football games, concerts, okay. A bunch of other things as well that mainly come to Chicago for like festivals and attractions. So I seen a lot of famous people such as Fish. I seen Bon Jovi. That was actually pretty interesting.
Oh, you're trying to get to my age, right? Yeah, yeah. I see what's going on.
So that actually that opened me up and spreaded my wings, mm-hmm. Because I was once upon a time that shy guy.
Right.
So yeah, I didn't talk a lot to a lot of people that I didn't know. And once I got that gig, that basically opened me up and spread my wings, because I had to help so many people throughout the day. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So many different people and having so many different encounters. And it was cool. It was amazing. So I had a good time working for them. Worked for them for about 3 years. After that, I was still in high school at the point in time I was working for them as well. So I graduated from Calumet High School,
mm-hmm.
which is located right on Ridge Road. I went to Lafayette Jeff as well. Like I said, I moved around for a while. So, like I said, I've been home now for about 12 years. And
yeah. So let me ask you, Dwayne.
Yep.
Give us a little bit business history about the business Cognito. Like, how did it get started? You know, things like that. How long you've been in operation?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I know it started as a hobby.
Yeah.
Me and Sharon know.
Oh,
when
yeah.
these microbreweries come around, I mean, that's I don't care how big thread, they are yeah. or how small they are.
Sure.
They all started as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it started as, too. And I just was fortunate enough to have a wife that I went from the basement to the garage. And then when I got to the garage, she said, you got to get out and do something with this. So,
so what, did you have a vessel in your garage?
I was in the basement. Then when she told me to get out the basement, then I had to move to the garage. And when I got to the garage, then the cars were parked outside all the time. And that became a problem. And it was like, I think it's been long enough, you got to get another space. So I said, if I'm getting another space, then I'm going to go commercial.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
and how long
did she say that? Because she wanted her car garage back?
Yeah, she wanted her garage back.
Or was
back.
She like, your beer is so awesome, I want to encourage you to get out there?
Well, you know what? When you're home brewing, you end up with a lot of... I went from bottling to kegging real quickly. I've been bottled like one time and was like, this process is taking too long. I want to taste my beer.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped at kegging real fast. And once I started kegging, the beer was ready so fast that people start. Guys I knew were coming by all the time and hanging out. And
you lost me there.
Sure.
When you mean bottling, so you used to make the beer and just put them in bottles?
Yeah. When you first start home brewing, most brewers, they make their beer and then you put the beer into the bottle and you put a little CO2 pill in there too.
Okay.
And that puts the CO2 in the beer and you cap it.
Okay.
And then you put it on the stair somewhere where it's not a lot of sunlight, direct sunlight, somewhere around 68 degrees comfortable. And it just sits there for like 2 to 4 weeks while it's aging, and then you pop it and then you drink.
Oh,
yeah.
And so what kegging is, like, it's all ready. Once you get it out, there's no sitting around.
Yeah. If I finish making like a keg, a 5 gallon, I'm doing 10 gallons, 10 gallon batches, I would take that 10 gallon, cipher it into my carbol, and then from there I would cold crash it. And so that process takes about 10 days. And then once you cold crash it, it's beer, and I pump it right into a keg, and then, ready to serve. I could force carb it at that point. It's weird. You can lay a keg on the floor
because
they're like 5 gallon kegs, Coney kegs, and you just rock it back and forth with your foot with the CO2 going in at the same time, and it's like force carbonating the beer. And you can do that for about a couple of hours or so, and then you can stand it up and drink it. So you could drink instantly. So that was my process. I couldn't wait for bottles. It was just too long.
You know what's crazy is how like, this is a whole different thing that we've heard from other guys. I never heard of anyone rocking their beer, and getting it to get the CO2 in there.
That's
like that.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. So explain exactly how you did that again.
You have your beer sitting inside your keg, your Coney keg, and you load the CO2 in. So you're pressurizing it with the CO2. So if the CO2 is coming in, normally you would just let it sit there, and the CO2 sits on top of the beer, and it's slowly over a week.
Oh, I see. But you're forcing
it.
Seeps in.
But you don't do that now.
No.
So let me ask you, how long ago did you decide to start Cognito?
2017.
You're fairly new.
Yeah.
So when did you actually have a storefront?
We went through the Merrillville planning process. We actually went to be on Broadway at 6207 Broadway. It was a wonderful building. It had the garage door in the back. At the storefront in the front, it was a duplex industrial kind of building set up. And we had great vision to have, like, the swing doors that opened up. You walk right into the garage, and you can sit there and see all the equipment. And there's us making the beer and everything, and a tap room from there going all the way back to the front door with a lobby area. And that building, that lease fell apart. And we were at the zoning hearing at that point. Mm-hmm. And so Maryville wanted us to stay here. And they were very, very, very helpful in helping us find a spot. And we ended up back here in the industrial park behind you guys.
Want to give out the address?
Yeah, sure. 8622 Louisiana Place, Maryville, Indiana.
Yeah, I'm curious about the location that you guys chose, because that just doesn't seem like an obvious location for, I don't know. It just seems so, like, underground.
Well, you know, from now we're going back to my planning experience. So the manufacturing of beer is considered a manufacturing process. Mm-hmm. So they want breweries to usually locate, without a variance, it's permitted by right in an industrial area. So if you want to be in a commercial area, like we were looking for on 62nd and Broadway, that's a commercial retail district. So you have to seek a variance of special use to take an industrial use and place it in a commercial use. So that's what created our variance the first time we were looking. So we went to a space that was permitted by right, because the zoning code was designed for manufacturing, and breweries are one of the permitted uses within that area. So we came right back here and were able to open up shop very quickly.
So why beer? I mean, you could have done pizzas or something, but why beer?
So you have the sitting area, though. Is that considered industrial as well?
Well, like it's a tap room. That's so you kind of want that next to your brewery in some form or another. I mean, either next door or internally within the same space. So we were lucky enough to get the space next door. That used to be a Kirby vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, and those guys finally left the space, and the landlord came graciously to us and said, "Hey, guys, want the space?" I said, "Yes." And so we jumped into that space, and the lease took place in August of 18. And I should have known better, being a planner, but I'm thinking I could cut corners, because I know a lot about the inside of urban planning, but you still have to, I had to go through the same. It's different when you're on the government side, and then you're on the other side of the desk, and then you realize you have to listen to the rules that government, you know, so I had to go through the process. So Maryville was very, again, gracious and helped us out in the whole deal, the process. And it took us about 5 months to open that space with renovations, ADA bathroom, and then we picked the color scheme, and it was winter, so we actually went with that color scheme because it's a warm, inviting color scheme we have in the building, and we wanted you to walk in from the winter and forget about that cold gray look outside.
Did you always want to do beer?
I did. I just didn't know if I had the time, because I was so involved with it. I loved being a city planner. Mm-hmm. It was such a great experience being able to travel around. And an interesting factor, every city I'm relocated to as an urban planner, there was always somebody there from the region.
Oh, really?
I always met someone from Munster, Lake Station, from Gary, from Miller, from Munster. You know, there's always somebody that bumped into me that was from the region. So we branch out from the region. We really get out there. I think we're everywhere in the United States.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because when I moved to Florida, I met people from Indiana.
Yeah.
That's what happens. We go, and then you end up coming back.
Yeah.
You know, I guess when you're young, you just want to travel and see different things.
That's it.
So, Marquise, how'd you hook up with Dwayne?
Oh, that's actually an interesting story. So, I met Dwayne from me looking for a new gig, basically. I was in the search of a new job, and I seen a posting on Indeed, and met him. And I was doing a gutter installation at first. I was with All-in-One out in Crown Point for a little bit, and I needed a new gig. So that's how I basically ended up meeting Dwayne. But
so it's basically you just wanted a new kind of job.
Yeah.
And now you've actually fallen into something that's a talent. It's also, what else you want to call it? A specialty.
Yeah.
It's a specialty.
Yeah.
I mean,
art.
It's an art. Yeah. You're right. So and me and Sharon have been doing this show for a couple of years, and we've had a lot of microbreweries on, and they are like artists. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all into what they're doing. They know what's going on, and it's just not about brewing the beer. I mean, it's like the canning and the arts and the names and
Which, by the way, I would be curious to know what inspired the design of the She Devil can.
You know what? We met an artist. Well, based on the style of Belgian beer, because we're a Belgian beer kind of brewery. But we call ourselves Belgian beer big beers, because most of the ABV in our shop Like we have four of our guests, our beers on that we produce in-house, and then we try to have some guest taps on where we try to pick various craft breweries from around the U.S. that make a big, bold beer tasting. And a big beer is categorized as anything over 7% ABV. So that's pretty much our shop. We've got one 5% ABV in there, but everything else is pretty much above 7. Yeah. Because that's just the style we use. But the design behind a Belgian beer is, there's a history behind it. Most all beers are out there. The history behind Belgian is that there was a disease outbreak, I guess you could say, with the water in Belgium at that time. And the monks came down to try to convince the people to stop, you know, consuming the water base because it was deadly, one would say. And they had a hard time convincing them. So the monks began to make their own beer. To get that at that age period of time, that, you know, it was not that much to do as far as entertainment. So a lot of people spent a lot of time drinking and eating. So they, once they got them into the beer, and then teaching them how to sanitize their own water, then, you know, the fun kind of, you know, the disease just kind of like faded away over a period of time. So the Belgians, monks still make Belgian beer today.
Oh, so yeah. Why? How'd you come up with the name Cognito? I always want to say Incognito when I think of it, but how'd you come up with the name Cognito?
That's a great piece there, because the guys that we were that brewed around back in those days, and we were a bunch of homebrewers, and they were like in support of helping us get out, and we kicked around a lot of names. Then one day this guy said, my brother, he was said, you know, this is weird because you guys have been, you're incognito. Nobody knows you. You're coming out, so you're incognito. And then at that point I said, well, what's the opposite? And he said Cognito, and I was like, so that's who we'll be, since we've been hidden and we're so brand new coming out, then we'll call ourselves Cognito.
I like that. It's different. Yeah, you know, and everyone's got a story about
it. I thought maybe it was because of the location, because you're kind of, you know,
well,
kind of hidden
to come
back
out
there,
front.
Sort of. What?
Cognito is to come out
forward.
Yeah, come out
incognito
front.
Incognito is to be hidden away. So
incognito is hiding, and Cognito is coming out front.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Dwayne or Marquise, why don't you describe? I thought it was the coolest place when I walked in, because on the outside, you got artwork on the windows and all things like that. And then when you walk in, I felt like I was 1971 living in Aetna at my buddy Joe. I said this to you, too, at my buddy's Joe's house. I mean, you have some interesting murals. I mean, it's a really cool place inside. It's really slick. Explain to people, like, the atmosphere, like, what they would see and things like that.
Well, we wanted to create a presence of exactly what you said, that era where there was...
Or the theme.
The theme, yeah.
The theme, the
decor. We wanted to have sort of a 70s kind of... Those were good time periods.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in that time period. So to me, those were very comfortable years compared to, you know, the shift of music in the 80s and the 90s. So,
right.
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of bring back what I was used to as a child growing up. So I wanted to set the motif of that style. So, yeah, that's we want warmer colors. We want a guy named Eric Rowland. He produced our mural on the back wall.
Okay.
There. He's a local guy, too. He's got a gallery. Out of Highland, House of Promise, I believe. Art House of Promise. So, yeah, he's a great guy. He did that piece for us. And then we wanted to add some ancient kind of...
like that old stereo you got there.
Yeah.
And those chairs, those bucket chairs, I see.
Chairs are cool, yeah.
Yeah, have you been in there?
Yeah, I've been in there. I think I even met you.
That was me watching Dark Shadows. Remember Dark Shadows?
I do.
I looked in there, and I'm like, man, you don't even know what we're talking
everybody
about.
Everybody loves the days of their childhood, the music of their childhood.
That's what it reminded me of. Like, I was in my buddy's basement, and I'm ready to watch Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
We thought it was the scariest thing, and it's like popcorn now.
Bubblegum
theater.
That's what my kids say today, too. They're like, that's not scary.
It's not scary at all. Folks, you're sitting here on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. It's Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. We have Cognito Brewery and Tap Room here from Merrillville, and Dwayne and Marquise are sitting here. You call up, ask them a question, and they'll be happy to give you out a gift card to 769-9577. That is 769-9577. So before we get into the beer, you do offer some food. Now, do you cook, Marquise, at all?
I do. When I was a kid, I used to have a passion for cooking. I used to want to be a culinary artist, you know, chef. So till this day, you know, I still, cook for myself and provide, you know, food for family and whatnot.
Dwayne, you actually have a chef, Chef Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And just tell. I mean, you brought in some stuff. And folks, Sharon, tell everyone where they can see some of these pictures. Oh, yeah, as she's drinking the beer.
I'm not drinking water, actually, that time.
I'll drink the beer.
Yeah, you drink the beer. How's that? Nom, 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 nom. Yeah, the Lakeshore Public Radio Facebook page. Be sure to go to that, and you will see the post and the pictures.
Yeah, and later on, well, later on today or tomorrow, they actually can go on our website and look up our show, Let's Eat, and this show will be on there, and you can listen to it again.
Yes.
So
yes.
Remember, folks, call in 769-95.
And past shows, too, I believe, right?
And past shows.
Yes.
So, Dwayne, tell us about some of your menu items.
On the menu there, we do in-house. We do our own. We have a chef that comes in, or a cook, I should say, whichever he's comfortable with.
I'm a chef, but I just call myself a cook.
Okay. Well, I think he prefer cook as well.
Yeah, I know. It's like too stuffy for me.
Yeah, that's how he feels about it, too. It's like a little bit over top.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he comes in on Fridays and Saturdays, and he cooks sort of a Mexican kind of menu. So he has burritos. He has nachos. He has... what else are we missing?
Tacos, tostadas,
chips
and salsa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he does a good job.
And then what did you bring us today?
And today, for our menu, we always have crab cakes, we have our hot wings, and we have our pizza. So in our pizza, we come in the various menu styles, of course. It's all based on ingredient toppings. But the dough and the sauce and our cheese is very interesting mix. We have a buffalo cheese kind of as a cheese source. And the meats right now is Italian sausage, but we're branching out into pepperonis, and we're gonna do some very interesting things on the vegetarian side, and even try to get into some Hawaiian styles there. Mm-hmm. So
when you go to Cognito, folks, 769-9577, give us a call. They have a food menu there, so you can go there, have a few drinks, and get some appetizers or pizzas or crab cakes or wings, anything like that. So we're gonna get away from the food, and we're gonna go to the beers.
Okay.
Now, how many different vats do you have in your back room?
We have a three barrel, start with a 3.5 barrel kettle, but we have three barrel fermenters. So in total, it's a 9 barrel fermenting system. But we have, we create at least 9 barrels of beer. It could be 9 barrels of one source of beer, one style, I should say, or it can be three different various styles. So our last batch we made we have another brewer too. He's in Italy right now.
Uh-huh.
Chris Shelton, great guy. He's really, to me, the master brewer. I learned a lot from Chris. He'll be back here in June, and we're going to make some very interesting styles. I can't go into them now, but we're going to really be.
So, how many beers you got on your tap?
Right now, we have 4 house beers. So, we have Papi Chulo, which is a Mexican Cerveza style beer. If you like Corona or Modelo, that type of style of beer, that's what that is mirrored to. Ours is a craft style, so it's a lot more delicious, as I would like to say, than your normal shelf commercial brand of a Modelo. Then we have a IPA that we didn't overhop. We kind of just made it just right. We didn't want the hops to be very bold and demanding.
Now, is an IPA usually like smoother and lighter?
It's kind of bitter.
It's bitter.
Right?
Yeah.
It's more bitter.
It's a more hoppier kind of beer style. You know, it's basic.
I'm not a hoppier guy.
Yeah. Do you know the history of IPA?
No. Go ahead. Tell us.
History of IPAs was during the British war in the Middle East. That the British had to give beer over to their soldiers, that's when it was in a barrel form, wooden barrel. So they would overhop it to preserve it for that travel. So that's pretty much where the IPA came into play. So I was looking at a show yesterday, based on the Revolution, the American Revolution. So we were throwing tea overboard and all that in beer barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Those are IPAs we probably were throwing over the side of the deck there as well.
So the barrels, how many gallons is something like that hold?
A beer we have in total, the 9 barrel can hold up to about 987 gallons.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Now, do you do anything like retail-wise yet or anything like that?
You know, we have been dating a distributor. They come in and out and talk to us, and we still haven't signed on the ink on the dotted line, because when we open the tap room, we want to see what type of exposure we can get just out of our building.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say maybe in the fall, we're going to try to sit down and see if we can ink the paper on it and do some more distributing. But right now, we distribute out the house, so our kegs. You want to buy a keg? You got a kegerator home? Come see me. If you want to buy a 4-pack, just come see me for right now.
Okay. So, Marquise, now do you have any say in how the flavors are going down with the beer or anything like that? Do you get any input, or does Marquise Dwayne just so involved that he just can't give any of that up?
I mean, I would put in my own opinion on it. Personally, you know, my favorite is the Papi Chulo. Like you said, it's something similar to, you know, Modelo and Corona, but, you know, a craft version. So, I really like it. It's very smooth. It's very drinkable beer, so you guys should come check it out. So
Dwayne, I mean, who comes up with the ideas of the beers, the different flavors? If we're going to throw in, you know, a bunch of hop or no hop or...
I would say myself and Chris Shelton.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris was very instrumental in the last brew batch that we just did, which is the IPA and the Cerveza. We use a little wild honey in our Cerveza, which gives it a very different character.
Water honey?
No, wild honey.
Wild honey.
Wild honey.
What? I'm sorry, what makes it wild?
Just
it goes, oh!
Yeah. It's like bees are not captive. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just the bees, you know, that in the process that they go through and making the honey itself. You know, it's just organic, I guess you can say.
You do with in all your beers, you put a little bit of wild honey in?
Just in the Cerveza.
Just in the Cerveza.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen to that one.
Gives it like a natural sweetener? Or?
You know, it's a sweetener to the yeast. So, because the yeast likes to eat the... It turns it into alcohol because beer is just sweet water until the yeast gets involved with it.
Right. So again, you know, there's something you put in. But can you put in, like, fruits? I mean, I'm a fruity guy. You know, I do like a lot of fruits.
Yeah.
I like sweet things. I mean, can you actually take, like, blueberries and throw it into your beer?
You can. You can throw either the fresh blueberries in themselves or you can do puree. And
have you ever done anything like that?
Yeah, in my smaller vessel when I was home brewing. Yeah, I have. I've done that. You know, you put it into your carboy back then and just let it ferment in there. It takes a while. It's interesting when you deal with like puree or just straight fruit. It can cause some clogging problems when transferring beer. But the result is very delicious. You get a very delicious taste.
So does the hops like overpower the flavor of the fruit?
It depends on the hop strains are so crossbred today that you can get a hop like today. I'll use an example. You can find a hop today that has... It has aroma flavors, and you have bittering flavors. So you can get an aroma flavor from the nose that may be like stone fruit, pears, plums, apples, or something more earthy like, you know, pine or citrus or something like that. So it depends on what the aroma style you want to go for in your beer.
Now, where do you get your hops from?
We're going to go buy some hops this brew day. We're thinking about Dylan and DeMont here and start going local.
You know Howe Farms?
Yeah,
you ever hear how he's been on the radio? He grows his own hops too.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to that guy.
Out of Leroy. We had him on. Remember that?
That's the guy that grows all the hops.
Yeah. He's just like a seasonal. Okay. Now, from talking to other microbreweries, now your hops—it's not the buds that you get in. Do you just get the pellets?
Yeah, we do pellets.
You do pellets.
Yeah.
Now, why do people do the pellets instead of just? Because on the TV they're showing.
Oh yeah.
Hops.
Yeah, the bud, the actual.
This is pretty. Offer.
You know what? It all depends on what's in your kettle and how you want to the fermenter. Because the pellets drop out easier. They melt down into the water the beer a little better. And then when fermenting, you know, they tend to fall down to the yeast drop a little better. You don't get that. That suspended kind of leafy thing going on in your beer, which you can filter out. I mean, you could filter that
it's
out.
It's just extra time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Folks, 769-9577. That's 769-9577. Give us a call and ask Dwayne or Marquise a question from Cognito Brewery and Tap Room here in Maryville, and then we can give you a gift card from there or Chef Nick's Eatery. So those vats, I saw them. They're pretty... They're pretty looking.
Mm-hmm.
What's the cost on a vat? What's a vat cost you?
You know, it depends on, like, if you can home brew with a one barrel fermenter. And believe it or not, there's a great company, Bleachman, which is in West Lafayette, Indiana. And they make a great home brewing kind of system there. But those, it variate in prices. It depends on where you're buying them from, who's the fabricator. So they can be as inexpensive as like $1,500. Now, the $1,500 is for the home brewer,
right?
But when you get to the commercial level, they can be anywhere from $5 to $10, depending on where you're shopping around at.
So there's
and
quite,
the size too.
There's
the size
quite
plays a big part
quite an investment just in those.
Yeah, the whole system. I'm starting up a nano brewery. It can be quite pricey. A lot of people think it's just like a. You know, you just go buy this and go buy that.
That's what they think about anything with food or alcohol. They think it's just, no, you know, it just comes. But there's a lot of work behind
it. Yeah, it's not open a box and plug it in.
Yeah,
it's not.
Well, Marquise, you know that. Now, you've been brewing and things like that. I mean, have you ever done this before, or is Dwayne showing you this as you go?
Well, so I started off about like 2 years ago just gaining knowledge about craft beer. So what it was is that one of my friends, I was hanging out with him. It was like a little house party kind of ish, you know, just a group of friends. And, you know, we're all just hanging around, chilling and whatnot. And he had this, I think it was about like 16 or 18 ounces or something like that. And It was a unique bottle, and I'm looking at him, and I'm drinking a Coors Light at the time, and I'm just looking. I'm like, bro, what's that? What do you have? He was like, it's craft beer. And I was like, oh, craft beer. I'm like, what's that? I'm like, I never heard of that. You know, this is the first time of me hearing about craft beer. So he told me about it. You know, I took a little sip while I poured me a nice little cup of it, you know, of course, to see how it was. Took a little sip of it, and at the point in time, I didn't know about the different styles of beers. Mm-hmm. But come to date, it was an IPA, and it was so hoppy. And me, personally, I'm not a big fan of hops. I don't do, like, bitterness or black coffee, so I don't really do, you know, IPA.
I think you're like me.
So
you like it like smooth and light.
Yeah, I like our IPA. Our IPA is very delicious. Personally, I think it's very well balanced. Mm-hmm. But
like user friendly.
yeah, exactly. So, like I said, I started gaining knowledge 2 years from Wise Guys. Actually, I was working there while I was in dealer school on my way to being a dealer at Ameristar. So I was working there for a bit, for about a year and a half or so. And we had wine classes, and the owner, Rick over there, he took us out to Three Floyds one day. We got to see their
facility.
Yes. Their brew facility and whatnot, and, you know, see how they operate and do things. So I kind of got an image right there on, you know, how a brew house is supposed to be and everything. So, and as well, the guy, one of the beer geeks that was there, I don't know if he considers himself a beer geek, but he's very well knowledgeable about beer. His name was Wes. He told me about a few things. And a guy from Florida, we both got interviewed on the same day for Wise Guys to get the position. Uh-huh. We both got hired. And he was from Florida. And he actually taught me about a couple of things. He introduced me to sours. He actually gave me my first sour. It was a Sour Monkey from Victory. And that's actually how I got introduced to sours and started liking sours, was from him. And he actually gave me a lot of knowledge, too. So I got a lot of knowledge from working at Wise Guys. So
you are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Welcome back, Lakeshore listeners. We're here on 89.1 FM. You're listening to Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. Our guests today are Dwayne and Marquise from Cognito Brewery and Tap Room out of Merrillville, and they're giving out gift cards, 769-9577. What's a sour? You just said a sour. I didn't understand.
Yeah,
the only thing I know is whiskey sour.
Got you into sours?
Yeah, what's a
sour? So a sour is basically when a beer is made with wild yeast instead of the yeast being, I believe is what they call controlled. Uh-huh. Is what it is when the yeast is controlled. Is a sour is when the yeast just acts natural and it just goes nuts with the oxygen, you know. So
is this yeast, Dwayne, can I bake my bread with it?
I'm sure the basic yeast. Yeah. I mean, you could still. I mean, in the olden days, they just used regular yeast to make beer with. But today's yeast is very commercialized in the laboratory kind of deal.
Yeah.
So you get which is wonderful to me because you get a lot of different strain variations now. So
how about barley?
Same there. They've got you can get your grain now from your malts and everything from Canada. You can get it straight from Belgium. I mean, it just depends on what style of beer you're making with the base of your.
Where do you get yours from? Do you have a distributor that's all they do?
We get ours from there's a commercial malt company over in Illinois.
Okay.
That deals only with breweries, and they have a huge shopping list. So we just go through and just pick yeast. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, we don't get our yeast from there, but we pick our grain and malts from. From there, they got a huge catalog.
Are you canning your? Are you putting your own beer in these cans? Are you doing it yourself, or does somebody come in and do it for you?
No, we can ourselves. So we'll take the time. We usually keep about a case or two cases canned up, by at least Wednesday in the house, ready for anybody to come in and purchase during the week. So we can right in the spot. And those, we got our She-Devil label. Now, that artwork on She-Devil was actually done from our a private artist.
Who is this girl? She's pretty.
That's, I don't know. that's everyone's imagination, I guess. yeah, we worked through all that art was worked. We kicked that around a lot, and we finally came with the logo that we like there. So, yeah, and all our logos are our labeling, I guess you should say, is kind of similar. So we kind of go the same style, a lot of curves.
It's inviting.
Is she on every label?
No, she's not. She's just on She-Devil. That's our She-Devil girl.
Okay.
Yeah. But she's, yeah, we, with the same, if you look at the flow of the lines, yeah, we keep it flowy and keep it moving. So the eye keeps moving around on the design.
I tell you what, you know, a lot has to do with packaging. Yeah. So once you guys get out to these liquor stores, I can see this flying off the shelf.
Yeah.
I mean, you got guys that will drink this and look at this picture the whole time.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
It's a really, really nice label.
Actually, the guy that came in and bought, he's a can collector.
Okay.
Can
collector, I could see that being a collecting
item. Yeah, he bought that just for, he wanted to be on his shelf as a collector can. Yeah.
It's eye-popping.
It is eye-popping, isn't it? Even when you pull up to your establishment and what's drawing on your windows and stuff like that,
right.
You know, it really gets your attention. You start to really look at it because it's got a lot going on. I mean, at first you think it's just a picture of a girl or a woman or whatever, but there's a lot going on with that picture. Yeah. Same thing when you go in your establishment. There's a lot going on with the things that are painted around there.
Very vibrant.
You know, it's got a really cool vibe to it. Like you said, it's like that late 60s, 70s feel, you know.
Yeah, we go for a soul kind of funk fusion, jazz fusion. So we try to mix it
like
all
the Sly and the Family Stone should be in there. Yeah, I can see that.
You guys have like artists come in there? And
yeah, do you do anything like that?
Yeah,
like,
we have our, like, tomorrow night is Art and Canvas at
really?
Spot. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So what kind of like extra entertainment do you do in your establishment?
We've done some blues pieces. We've done... we're trying to get some more solo acts in there on the music side for April because we want to fill out. I got some guys coming in Saturday I need to talk to and try to book up April, May, and June. So pretty much we do like music and then we'll do like private invites. So if you want to have like your birthday party or, you know, just your garden club wanting to get together and have some beers, you know, come on by.
Now, let me ask you this. On the music side, do you request a certain style of music or you don't really, you listen if it's okay, it's okay? Are you looking for more of that soulful music jazzy stuff?
I would like that, you know. Like the blues band was pretty cool when we had those guys in there. I would like that, but, you know, based on the performers in this area, I want to give everyone...
How about Bootsy's? Bootsy's Rubber Band Band. I love Bootsy, man. That was my favorite.
That was a conversation coming
Wind
over
me
Bootsy
up.
And the Parliament stage.
Oh, I liked all that stuff, man. That's what I grew up to.
Oh, George Clinton.
Oh, yeah. I was a big Earth, Wind & Fire fan, believe me. So all the recipes come from you. Can you give us like a... If I wanted to make beer in this little water bottle, what would I do? What's basically in a brew of beer that's not special? I mean, what makes up a... batch of beer.
It's just water, hops, and malt, and yeast. I mean, that's your basic.
Now, okay, so you do that, and then you come out with these things that say 9%, 5%. I mean, are you a mathematician? Are you a scientist? Are you a chemist? How do you know that percentage?
We have a we have equipment that reads the, we can take samples as to brewing aging. So we have a hydrometer, so we spin it, and some people, and we have a reflector too, so you can look through the lens, and you can actually see the ABV. It's in the scale, so the scale bounces out to an ABV number, and so we track our, we know where it's going to be from original gravity.
Now, what happens if it goes too high? Can you just throw water in to make it lower? I mean,
no.
See, that's bad, Nick.
If you hit your OG, they call it OG original gravity. If you hit your OG original gravity, you kind of know where you're starting off at. And you know where you're going to end up at. It's usually, you're not too far off if you hit your OG.
Now, you don't sell any other kind of, you don't sell domestics or anything like that in your establishment.
No.
It's just what you do.
Yeah.
Now, how about wine?
We do have wine. We get that from our we have a beer and wine license at our facility, too, which kind of sets us apart from a lot of other breweries. Some just to have their own beer. We have beer and wine, so we have a distributor, local distributors.
But how about making it?
That is a longer fermentation stage, actually. Because I considered that years ago.
I mean, just one type of wine, maybe.
It's a different process.
Yeah, I know.
A different school of training. And it does take
You don't
want to
mix them, huh?
Yeah. I mean, to me, wine.
You don't want to be on the wine trail.
You want to focus on one thing.
Yeah, that's too much.
No, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Now, your cans, you sell them just in, what are they, six packs?
Four packs.
Four packs.
Yep.
And you do have kegs out there.
Yeah, we got 16, six barrels. Yeah.
So what's your best seller?
Right, She-Devil's our bestseller right now.
It's because of the label.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. And that was the first one we came out with. We opened the tap room. We spent so much time in construction that we brewed up a load of kegs, and we just had only had She Devil, and we had She Devil with a bunch of other guest craft kegs in there. And that's what was introduced to the region when we opened up, was just She Devil. We hadn't made other beers yet. Then we came back after we got the tap room open and said, okay, let's make some more beers and start weaning some of these guest taps out there, out craft taps.
I think you got a fan over here with James. James is the president of the radio and TV here at Lakeshore Public Radio, and he's sitting there, and he just, I can tell, he likes the food and he likes the beer. He's like hovering in the back over there.
Frequent trips back here. So the She Devil, do you have it in like IPA and the Belgian one?
No, She Devil is just, it's just our Belgian.
Just Belgian.
Yeah, our IPA is called Harlem Warrior, and that's, then we have our Cerveza, which is Papi Chulo, and then we have our Blueberry Hill, which was inspired from Fats Domino's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the health nut in me is going to ask you this. I ask everyone this. And you probably know the question I'm going to ask you. Do you carry gluten-free beers?
Oh, right. Yeah, gluten-free.
No. Sorry. Wish. But, you know, it's something to think about. But I enjoy the protein that comes from a good beer.
Well, Marquise, what's your favorite beer? You kind of said which one was before. Yeah, but what is your favorite?
Out of the in-house, I'll have to go for the Papi Chulo. That's my to-go, too. Because, like Dwayne said earlier, it has that wild honey in it. And it does some things to the beer. It gives it some nice, good, natural flavors. It, and like I said, it's very smooth for the ABV as well. So it's a creeper.
Now, do you have seasonal items? I mean, I know you're new. Now, you're, what, about 1 year, right?
Right.
Into this all?
Right.
Okay, so you've pretty much just hit a season. But is that something you're thinking of? Like, you know, beer with peppermint in it during Christmas? Or
well, actually,
everyone's got green beer, I guess.
Papi Chulo is coming off. Which is because we brew and see how they appeal, so we start to rank our beers based on the appeal for marketing.
That's perfect.
So we're getting ready to make actually the 23rd of this month. We're going to brew again. We're going to make a Dubel, which is called Double Trouble. It's a Belgian family again, and we're going to make a Belgian Triple, which is in a Belgian family again. That's called here's one from this is from the Red Fox Sanford and Sunday. We named this one Champimpo Thrills. Because Red Fox was a big Champimpo.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah, so we have Champimpo Thrills, which is our triple that's coming out. And that'll probably hit in May, I would say. And then Double Trouble, which is a Belgian Dubel, which will hit in May as well.
So, does a big froth make a difference in the flavor of that beer?
I like a big head on the, you know, I like frosty head on the, foamy head on the, I do.
How about you, Marquise? What do you think about that?
Honestly, I would have to agree. I do prefer a nice little head on my beer.
Uh-huh. And why is that? Why is it because you get the aroma up in your nose?
Yeah,
or?
To me, I get the aroma there, and I always like to have that little eye.
The smell is taste.
You know, you eat with your nose.
Yeah, you do that, and your eyes.
Yeah.
You do that. So do you guys have, like, frosted mugs or anything like that? Do you deal with any of that?
The frosted mugging machine? Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, we don't. We just we try to keep the beer at temperature.
What is proper temperature?
Depends on the style.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it does. Each beer style has a different temperature range. Like most Belgians should be served at, some people like 41, 44 degrees. We serve it at 38.
That's because, what I would like. Yeah. I like it very cold.
Yeah, because most Americans like their beer colder than the Europeans. So, yeah.
So is there any, like, warm beer? Is that true? People drink warm beer? I mean, like in Germany and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
In Germany, they do.
Yeah.
I don't see how they would do it.
Like room temperature.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You know what that reminds me of is a fraternity the day after a big keg party.
I think my dad's wife, you know, she was drinking temperature beer when she was five.
But that's what I think of when I think of warm beer. Hey, do you guys do yards? You know what a yard is?
Yes, but we don't do that either. Yeah.
Actually, my wife won a contest on a cruise ship drinking yard. Yeah, she beat all the other women on that cruise ship, and she's only 5 foot tall.
That's amazing.
she said that was just, you know, it looks like it's not a lot.
Yeah,
boy, it's a lot. It's a lot of beer in there. So, do you guys do any like? Are you out there like doing contests? Or you know, they have these beer shows and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. We don't get into as many contests as much, but we're hoping we can do something with a festival this summer with built around you guys here at Public Radio.
We have Mary Lewis on the line.
Oh, okay.
Mary?
Hey.
How you doing? You know, before you hang up, you have to give us your address so we can send you a gift card to Cognito's Brewery and Tap Room.
I love that place. My husband and I go there, and some of my family members go there. It's great. I just wanted to put my 2 cents in there about the beer and how good it is, and great service, a fun place to go, and also they have the best jerky.
Definitely.
That's right.
So what's your go-to beer?
I like Sea Devil and Blueberry.
Now you say blueberry. It doesn't have blueberry in it.
It's no. We just put it in the aroma.
Okay, yeah. Just the aroma.
Yeah. So you get the blueberry aroma, but the beer is pretty much a pale ale.
So Okay. Well, Mary, thanks for calling in, but we really need your address so you can get a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery at least.
All right.
Okay.
I'll
So Sharon's going to take your address while I sit here and talk a little bit more with Dwayne and Marquise. We only got like 3 more minutes left in the show. It went by really, really fast.
If you didn't mind, I want to follow up on that beef jerky.
Go ahead.
We have a guy in Vince. He comes in, and he makes beef jerky. He's licensed. He works out of our building. Mm-hmm. So we have like a couple of different cooks coming through all the time. And he makes the best like home beef jerky.
I mean, so I can go there and just get beef jerky?
Yeah, he packages already, so it's pre-packaged.
I love beef jerky.
He makes it straight from Angus beef too, so it's really delicious. And he's always changing his recipe.
He has different flavors and
yeah, that's good.
So that's something that's a draw. I never even thought about. I mean, it kind of goes together, like you know, peanuts and beer.
Because some
stuff
people
like
already eaten, so they just come in for the beer, and then the beef jerky helps suck up some of it there. So,
yeah. Well, Dwayne, we're down to the last few minutes, so you know, I'm going to give you the mic here. And I want you to tell everyone why they should come into Cognito Brewery and Tap there in Maryville. And tell us a little bit of.
Well, if you're looking for a new brewery that's with a tap room that's new to Northwest Indiana and it's a cozy location, you're looking for something, a different vibe of music and a different style of beer because you're wanting to try and break away from maybe some lagers and break away from the IPA scene. And even the sour scene, come on by and check us out. Got great music, great art, great people. I'll guarantee you, everyone in our building loves each other.
So why don't you give out your address, hours, website, phone, Facebook?
We're closed Mondays and Tuesdays because those are brew days. But on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we're from noon to 7 p.m. Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays from 1 to 9 p.m. But we never really push anybody out the door. So if people are having a good time, we'll stay a little longer with you.
Okay. How about a website? Do you have a website?
Yeah, website is cognitobrewery.com. And that's still on. It's up now, but we got to do some construction on it. So expect some changes if you go there.
Marquise, you got something to say in these last 30 seconds here?
If you guys just want to, you know, come out, have a good time, and, you know, have a good conversation, definitely come check us out.
Well, we've been sitting here for the hour with Cognito Brewery and Tap Room out of Maryville. We had I want to thank Dwayne and Marquise for coming in. We are all busy. I know it's busy in this kind of industry. And we want to thank you, the listeners out there, for tuning in. And we want you to support your local breweries, wineries, restaurants, anything that serves you in any way. And we want you to tune in to Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR, 89.1 FM. And every Friday we're here on Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me. And every Friday we take phone calls. So don't forget to call in and talk to some of our guests. And one of the things I read about you here, Dwayne, is that you are a real stand-up guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you seem like a very nice man. You too, Marquise. And we're both from Gary. That. We both have the same soil in our bones.
That's right.
So anyways, folks, take care out there. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next Friday on Let's Eat, 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. All I got to say is, ciao.